Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You can also call in, again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Let us pray. A Thanksgiving prayer. What is a Thanksgiving prayer? Well, a Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, in Psalms 100, describes this prayer. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Dear Lord, today we place everything in your hands. Our family, our health, our homes, our security, and our fears. You are the only one we trust with all we have and all we are. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Then you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Praise God. And right now, we are going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Praise be to God. Who sits so high and looks down.
love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest in the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around him and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
To be a good listener. Help us listen carefully to our families, to our friends, and most importantly, to you, Lord Jesus. In amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Open up your heart, because nothing is impossible for God.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. We'll be right back.
Your love is eternal, and your laws are everlasting. When we obey your commandments, we are blessed. Today, we invite you to reign over every corner of our hearts. We will have faith in you, Father. We will sense your presence. We will accept your love. We will trust your will, and we will praise you for the Savior of our life. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Devotional message, amen, which is entitled All to the Approach. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7. And it says, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the people. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. When the priest would enter the tabernacle, the first thing they would see is the altar of sacrifice. Have you ever considered why? We would be correct in saying that sin had to be atoned for, that the priest had to be made clean internally before they could serve God. Amen? They surrendered sacrifices to destruction in order for that to be possible. But those offerings actually carried an even deeper meaning. In fact, the book of Leviticus often uses a word for sacrifice or offering that comes from a root that means to approach or go near, as in becoming personally involved in a relationship with someone. In other words, the priest would make the offering first in order to say, I would give anything to draw near to you, Lord. This is why Jesus became the sacrifice for us. So when we say, I would give anything to draw near to you, Lord, Jesus can tell us, I gave everything so you could always. He wants us to be in relationship with him even more profoundly and passionately than we do. So don't deny him. Appreciate his sacrifice. Draw close and love your Savior. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is always to me. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for giving everything so we can draw close to you. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. praise be to God. Precious and heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for sending the American troops over to Israel to save the hostages that from Hamas. Lord God, we ask that you wrap your loving arms around them and protect them from all hurt and harm and dangers, and to while they are out there risking their lives to save all of the hostages that has been captured by Hamas. We thank you in advance for your answering our prayers, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Oh, the sun shall not smite thee by day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, Lord God of our salvation. Psalms 88 and 1 says, O Lord, the God of our salvation, Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, I have cried out by day and in the night before you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, you are the Lord God of our salvation. You reign from heaven and rule on the earth. You rescue those in need and bind up the brokenhearted. You save not only eternally, but also in time and history. Through the wisdom in your word, you save us from making wrong choices or going down the wrong path. You save us from a life of misery and regret through your healing forgiveness and grace. You save us from worry by assuring us that we can trust in you. You save us from confusion when we seek your truth and kingdom agenda in our life. We praise you because you are Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, the Lord God of our salvation. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise God. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Psalms 23:1 NIV. Jehovah Rohi, you are my shepherd, so I shall not be in want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You restore my soul. You lead me beside still waters. You prepare a table for me in the presence of those who oppose me. You anoint my head with oil and cause my cup to overflow. Because of you, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Because you are my shepherd, I will dwell in your house forever. You are the great shepherd. You are the guider of my soul. You are both king and shepherd over all. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection while we are getting ready to go into our service for this evening. Praise God.
Hold me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. From this place where I'm at, yeah. I need an answer. And you know all the facts. I'm done all I can. Tired of making mistakes over and over again. So I'm calling on you. And you always know what to do. So I'm praying to thee. When I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Learn all your words, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence. And a melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Move me, Lord. And now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And I'm just, while you're searching, looking for James, I'll give you a little background of James, who James was. Miraculous, revolutionary, greatest ever. We are inundated by a flood of extravagant claims as we channel surf the television or flip magazine pages. The message leaped out at us. The products assured that they are new, improved, fantastic, and capable of changing our lives. For only a few dollars, we can have cleaner clothes, whiter teeth, glamorous hair, and tastier food, automobiles, perfume, diet drinks, and mouthwash are guaranteed to bring happiness, friends, and a good life. And just before an election, no one can match the politicians' promises, but talk is cheap. And too often, we soon realize that the boasts were hollow, quite far from the truth. Jesus is the answer. Believe in God. Follow me to church. Christians also make great claims, but are often guilty of belying them with their actions. Professing to trust God and to be his people, they cling tightly to the world and its values, possessing all the right answers. They contradict the gospel with their lives, with energetic style and Christ and crisp, well-chosen words. James confronts the conflict head on. It is not enough to talk the Christian faith, he says. We must live it. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? The proof of the reality of our faith is a changed life. Amen? Genuine faith will inevitable produce good deeds. This is the central theme of James' letter, around which he supplies practical advice on living the Christian life. James began his letter by outlining some general characteristics of the Christian life in 1:1-27. Next, he exhorts Christians to act justly in society. And that's in James chapter 2, verses 1-13. He follows this practical advice with a theological discourse on the relationship between faith and action. Chapter 2, verses 14-26. Then James shows the importance of controlling one's speech. James chapter 3, verses 1-12. And chapter 3, verses 13-18. James distinguishes two kinds of wisdom, earthly and heavenly. Then he encourages his readers to turn from evil desires and obey God in chapter 4, 1-12. James reproves those who trust in their own plans and possessions, for chapter 4, verse 13-5-6. And finally, he exhorts his readers to be patient with each other, chapter 5, verses 7-11. To be straightforward in their promises, chapter 5, verse 12. To pray for each other, chapter 5, verses 13-18. And to help each other remain faithful to God, chapter 5, verse 19-20. Now, this letter could be considered how to book on Christian living, confrontation, challenges, and a call to commitment awaits you. Read James and become a doer of the word. Chapter 1, verses 22-25. Okay, our scripture reading for this evening, again, is coming from James. That was just a little background on James. Amen? So our scripture is coming from James chapter 1, verses 1-14. And I am reading from the New Living Translation where it says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed to and fro. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have nothing to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower drops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. Verse 12, God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. And verse 14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drags us away. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Praise be to God. So you see, people who live for God often wonder why they still have temptations. Does God tempt them? God tests people, but he don't tempt you. By trying to seduce them to sin, God allows Satan to tempt people. However, in order to refine their faith and to help them grow in their dependency on Christ, we can resist the temptation to sin by turning to God for strength and choosing to obey his word. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. I pray for the increase of our congregation. I pray for our families, friends, and our enemies. I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations receive deliverance. I pray for those that are lost in darkness receive the light of your salvation. I pray for my daughter. I pray for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I pray for my neighbors and even my enemies, Lord God. I pray for my church family. I ask that you bless each and every one of them in your own special way and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. We thank you for supplying our every need. And all these blessings, we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. The battle with temptation is a continuing battle in all of life and is what prompts our petition for today. Lead us not into temptation. Doubtlessly, the teacher intended for each of these petitions to be repeated daily. Even one day of relaxation during the battle with temptation can be spiritually fatal. So while Jesus did not experience the need voice in the second of the petition, forgive us, he did experience this one. That is, since he never succumbed to any temptation, he never had to request forgiveness. You may question whether Jesus really knew the power of temptation. The truth is that the only person who ever knows the full power of temptation is the person who resists it. Praise be to God. Jesus knew more about the power of temptation than any of us. This petition leads itself to deeper meditation. Whew, thank you, Jesus. My text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil." Praise God. My title for this message is, "Lead us not into temptation." Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight, my message is divided into three paragraphs. And my first paragraph is, "This petition affirms the sovereignty of God." We must not forget that all of the Lord's Prayer is addressed to our Father, which art in heaven. We begin the prayer by addressing God as the sovereign, almighty Father in heaven. In a sense, each petition affirms this of him in some way. But this one does so in a special way. In the petition, "Lead us not into temptation." Lead us translate the Greek word that is commonly translated bringing us. Amen? It is usually used with reference to a person's moving something from one place to another. It probably even expresses the Hebrew idea of causing something to be brought or led. So this petition affirms that God is in a position to cause things to happen, to bring us or lead us as it may please him. Whew, glory, hallelujah. He is affirmed to be sovereign. Power over circumstances. Since temptation can come from finding oneself in the wrong circumstances, this petition affirms that God has control over circumstances. It addresses him as the one who orders the steps of his people. Praise be to God. Do you believe that God can actually order the circumstances of your life to protect you from the allurements of evil? Absolutely. Over spiritual forces. Since temptation forces usually come from spiritual forces outside of our lives. Now, this petition affirms that God has ultimate and sovereign control over all of the spiritual forces in our world. Satan and his agents do not move outside the realm of God's control. They can't do nothing unless God allowed them to do it. While God does not cause them to do the things they do, he does still have them under his sovereignty. Over us, since many temptations are of our own making, this petition affirms that God has sovereignty over our lives. God controls our lives, not us. Lead us. Bring us. It personalizes the sovereignty of God. It is so easy to see God as having control over everything except our lives. It is easy to slip into an attitude that sees all of life as being out of control. But this petition affirms that God is in control. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is in control of everything, including us. This petition acknowledges the significance of temptation. You may be confused about the source of temptation. The Bible teaches that the devil tempts people, but God only tests people. James 1:13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after this desire has conceded, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown give birth to death. Mm. My Lord, thank you, Jesus. And that's in James 1 and 13 in the NIV. God himself cannot commit sins, nor can he tempt anyone to commit sin. Therefore, it is always a mistake to blame God for our temptation to do something that is wrong. God is in no way responsible for temptation. Testing of character. The Bible speaks of God testing a person. For example, Abraham, when God instructed him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice in Genesis 22 and 1, God was not tempting Abraham to do something sinful, but he was testing the depth of his commitment and the strength of his faith. Whenever God puts a person to the test, it is to give him the opportunity to prove himself. Of course, there is always the possibility of failure. But the test will not create the weakness of commitment. It will only reveal it. Hallelujah. Temptation as allurement to sin. Whenever the word temptation is used in connection with sin, another beside God is responsible. Ultimately, Satan himself must bear the responsibility, but obviously he will work through our own evil nature, through others, and through circumstances. It is this type of temptation that is referred to in this petition. It is a prayer that we may escape a confrontation with a temptation. Hallelujah. To sin. Only fools flirt with temptation. There is always the possibility that they will succumb to the allurement of evil. Question: what can I expect if I pray this prayer? Can I expect that God will protect me from the influence of the tempter? Can I expect immunity from temptation? No. Even our Lord himself, who surely knew how to pray this prayer, did not totally escape confrontation with temptation. We can, however, expect that we will not be stumbling into temptation unprepared. We can expect that God's provision to resist temptation will always be available and adequate. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. This petition announces the surrender of life. Lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer of personal surrender to the lordship and leadership of God in one's life. It is a renunciation of the lordship and leadership of self. When we say, lead us not into temptation, we surrender all to God. The desire to avoid sin. This petition expresses a desire to avoid sin. The location of this petition, in the prayer after the petition for forgiveness is significant. Whenever we experience release from guilt through forgiveness, we are left with a desire never to sin again. God. The depth of surrender. We are to give God complete control, not half control, not a third control, but complete control. Consider what this will involve. Since temptation occurs in certain circumstances, we have to agree to stay away from places and circumstances in which we are tempted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must surrender to the Lord our free and recreational time and allow him to choose the place we go and things we do. This includes the books we read and the television shows and movies we watch. Temptation occurs when we spend time with certain friends, so we even have to surrender the right to choose our own friends to the Lord. By praying this petition, we are asking the Lord to give us only friends who will help us avoid sin. Temptation also occurs when riches or property come to a person. So we must surrender even our finances to the Lord. We must be ready for him to determine how much of this world's wealth we will enjoy. Only when we surrender everything to the Lord can he protect us from temptation. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Christianity teaches men to be joyful under troubles. Such exercises are sent from God's love, and trials in the way of duty will brighten our graces now and our crown at last. Let us take care in times of trials that patience and not passion is set to work in us. Whatever is said or done, let patience have the saying and doing of it. When the work of patience is complete, it will furnish all that is necessary for our Christian race and warfare. We should not pray so much for the removal of affliction as for wisdom to make a right use of it. And who does not want wisdom to guide him under trials, both in regulating his own spirit, hallelujah, glory to God, and in managing his affairs. Here is something in answer to every discouraging turn of the mind. when we go to God under a sense of our own weakness and folly. If after all any should say, this may be the case with some, but I fear I shall not succeed. The promise is, to any that ask, it shall be given. A mind that has single and prevailing regard to its spiritual and eternal interest, and that keeps steady in its purposes for God, will grow wise by affliction, will continue permanent in devotion, and rise above trials and opposition. When our faith and spirit rise and fall with second causes, there will be unsteadiness in our words and actions. This may not always expose men to contempt in the world, but such ways cannot please God. No condition of life is such as to hinder rejoicing in God. Those of low degree may rejoice if they are exalted to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God. And the rich may rejoice in humbling provision, that lead to a humble and lowly disposition of mind. Worldly wealth is withering things. Then let him that is rich rejoice in the grace of God, which makes and keeps him humble, and in the trials and exercise which teach him to seek happiness in and from God, not from perishing enjoyment. It is not every man who suffers that is blessed, but he who with patience and consistency goes through all difficulties in the way of duty. Afflictions cannot make us miserable if it be our own fault. The tried Christians shall be a crowned one. The crown of life is promised to all who have the love of God reigning in their hearts. Every soul that truly loves God shall have its trials in this world fully recompensed in that world above, where love is made perfect. The commands of God and the dealings of his providence tries men's hearts and show the disposition which prevailed in them. But nothing sinful in the heart or conduct can be ascribed to God. He is not the author of the dross, though his fiery trials exposes it. Those who lay the blame of sin either upon their constitution or on their condition in the world, or pretend they cannot keep from sinning, wrong God as if he were the author of sin. Afflictions, as sent by God, are designed to draw out our graces, but not our corruptions. The origin of evil and temptation is in our heart, the beginning of sin, or all the evils that follow must be wholly charged upon us. God has no pleasure in death of men, as he has no hand in their sin, but both sin and misery are owing to themselves. As the sun is the same in nature and influences, though the earth and clouds often come in between, make it seem to us to vary, so God is unchangeable. And our changes and shadows are not from any changes or alterations in him. What the Son is in nature, God is in grace, providence, and glory, and infinity more. As every good gift is from God, so particularly our being born again, and all its holy, happy consequences comes from him. A true Christian becomes as different a person from what he was before the renewing influences of divine grace. As if he were formed over again, we should devote all our faculties to God's service, that we may be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. And as I bring this message to a close, to God be the glory. I just want to say, for the petition, lead us not into temptation. To be part of your daily prayer, it must become the desire of your heart. You cannot pray this petition unless you consider personal sin to be a serious matter. As long as you take sin lightly, this will never be your earnest prayer. Praying this petition could lead to new freedom and a new walk with God in your life. Why not try it? I hope this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Lead us not into temptation. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now, my brothers and sisters, now is the time. And all you have to do is to pray this prayer of faith with me. Father God, I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me for my sins. I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, be my Lord, Savior, and friend. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I pray that your Holy Spirit takes residence in me. All these blessings I ask, in Jesus' name I pray and believe that it's already done. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find yourself a good Bible-based church. Amen? Church that teaches God's word from the Bible. Amen? And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. We preach it every Thursday and Thursdays and Fridays. So anytime that you are home or on the go, because now everybody has smartphones, so you can call in anywhere you are to hear the word of God on Thursdays and Fridays. Amen. And I want to thank my guests online, Deaconess Valerie Boulding. God bless you. And how were you this evening? And how did you enjoy the word tonight? Amen. And now, at this time, I will play a selection as we're going out this evening for, okay, what time is 40? Yeah, I've got plenty of time. God is sustaining me by the wicked tongues. Amen. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about His goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning, and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? My God is sustaining me.
His holy
Spirit
of his grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel all over me.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him.
Sustaining me.
My Lord.
tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys. See you on next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And God bless you. And at 7 p.m., our sister Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. God bless you and have a lovely, lovely weekend. Stay safe, everyone, if you have to go out. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel. And again, we love you. Have a good evening. Good night and shalom.